If you have a Bible handy, you're welcome to turn with me to Psalm 90, where Miska read there. The first 12 verses is what we'll start with. Teach us to number our days. That's what the psalmist said. And as we begin here, let's just pause briefly, asking God's blessing upon our time together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the blood of the Lamb. How we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, oh Lord. Otherwise, we would be hopeless, lost in sin. And it's because of your goodness to send a Savior and to call us to know you through him, Lord, and his resurrection, that we can be saved and have a home in heaven and know for sure where we're going. Lord, bless this time together. Help us to reflect upon the truth of your word, and may you speak to every heart according to our needs. How we thank you today for bringing me this far, and we just pray your continued blessing for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. 70 years is considered a full life. And as it says there where Miska read in verse 10, it says, the years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Now, I'm not going to so much preach a three-point sermon for you today. Somewhat share a little bit of my own life. Because today, actually Tuesday, I turned 70 years old. And I often wonder, where has the time gone? I don't feel 70. We were here talking earlier before the service. What's it like? Well, it's sort of like any other day. I'm the same person. I can't believe the number says 70. It seems like just yesterday we landed in Finland with our three small children. And there was no church here to receive us. We had contact with one single lady who helped us to rent a house where we could go and live. We didn't know the language very much, and we had no friends in Tampere. And those first few weeks were very awkward, setting up housekeeping. We struggled forward, and the Lord provided. And I glanced over my notes when I turned 60, 10 years ago. Hard to believe how quickly the time has gone. I seemed so young back then. And so I don't want to really repeat my whole life story, but I do want to give you a little context. The modern state of Israel was established on May 14th, 1948. I was born April 24th, 1948. So I'm just a little bit older than Israel. Not much, 3 weeks or so, but older than Israel. That sounds pretty old. Our grandparents, both mine and my wife's grandparents, left Finland many years ago, came to America. My grandparents settled in California, hers in Montana. And I grew up at Lake Tahoe, California, which is in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. And I was the oldest of four children. Our parents loved and provided for us. But my father was a drunkard. And my parents divorced about the time I went away to college. I was involved in a lot of sports activities, and I got a scholarship to attend the University of Wyoming for skiing. In 1971, I joined the U.S. Army and was sent to Vietnam as a combat medic, where I served for 3 months. And that was a very hard experience for me, seeing lots of violence and death. After 2 years of being in the Army, I returned to the University of Wyoming, and that's where I met my wife, Linda. And she witnessed to me. She had become a Christian not long before that. And she told me about the grace of God and that I was a sinner and I needed to repent, and gave me materials to consider. And by the grace of God, I came to faith in Christ as my Savior in 1973 at the age of 25. Well, we got married and made our first home in Alaska, in Anchorage. We were in other remoter places, but I was a fisheries biologist working with the salmon industry in Alaska, working for the state of Alaska. And we found a home church there in Anchorage, and not long after that, I felt called to full-time ministry. And so we moved from Alaska. Our first child had just been born, and we moved from there down to Iowa, where we attended Bible college. And the Lord had always given us a love for the Finnish people. And so during that time, as we prayed what God would have us do, where we would go when we were prepared, he made it very clear that he was calling us to come here to Finland. And so that was our plan. And in 1978, 40 years ago, we signed on, were accepted under Baptist Mid-Missions in Cleveland, Ohio. And we start our deputation for Finland. And in early 1980, we had raised enough support to come here to Finland. And of course, the rest is history. It has been a struggle. We've never been fully accepted here. People have suspicions. Some people have actually thought that we're CIA agents, or that we came to Finland to get rich, or that we came here escaping capitalism. We've heard a number of amusing comments. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not well received here. And our love for the Finnish people has been moderated somewhat by reality, but at the same time, the Lord has showed us that all people are sinners and in rebellion against God. And the circumstances have driven us closer to the Lord, and it's been His faithfulness that has kept us from giving up, because there were many reasons to quit. But we never had a plan B. And so here we are 38 years later. One of the hardest parts of our ministry, I have to say, on a very personal level, is the reaction of my own family, my mother, my brother, and my sister. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 34 and following, He says, "Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10, 34 through 37. My family has rejected me. Just last summer, my sister came to Finland to visit distant relatives. Not far from here, we're friends with them too. And the train has to come right through Tampere, it stops here, but she would not come to visit me, even though we had extended an invitation and a genuine offer through her daughter. She ignored us. And I haven't heard a word from my brother for almost 20 years. My mother has strongly disapproved of us and done everything she can to make life hard. But the Lord has stood by us, and He's provided for us every step of the way. I love the passage in Psalm 27, verse 10, that says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." And this is a great comfort to me. And my family's opposition has more than anything confirmed my own personal salvation, that I belong to Jesus. And there's no greater confirmation of that than when you're opposed so sharply by those that love you, should love you. And yet the Lord has provided for us in the most amazing ways. He has given us loving friends and Christian brothers and sisters, and provided for us in the most amazing ways. Another great passage I love in Matthew 19:29, where Jesus says, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life." Having your love and respect means more to us than anything. It means so much. And I thank God for you, my dear Christian friends, and for Christian friends far and near who have helped us to be here all these years. And I praise God for a loving wife and three faithful children, believing children. I couldn't do anything without my wife and family. We praise God for not just three children, but 9 grandchildren. And like I say, I love to teach them these hymns, "Nothing But the Blood." And all our children are walking with the Lord. And we enjoy close, loving relationships with them. And we appreciate your love and support, because that is our life. Loving relationships are what makes life meaningful. Jesus said in John 13:35, which is well known to us, he says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Food and clothing and shelter are meaningless if you don't have someone to share it with. We need each other. Speak words of encouragement. Smile and say nice things to one another. This is part of building relationships. You know, we shake hands or give each other a hug because we need to touch each other. We need to reaffirm that we accept one another. The world is a cruel place. And so we need to show our appreciation, shaking hands, saying nice things, expressing our love and support in various ways, lending a helping hand. And that's why I so appreciate your loving kindness and faithfulness. My greatest joy is knowing that Jesus loved me and saved me from all my sins. As he says in Hebrews 13:5, he will never forsake me. He will never forsake us. He says, "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Never. And he has forgiven all the sins of my youth. For 25 years I walked in my own stubborn way. And he saved me, and he called me into this ministry. And he has been leading us and guiding us all the way. And when I make mistakes, which I'm prone to do, he corrects me and puts me back on the right path. And he's kept us from going astray and encountering a great disaster. And when I've been discouraged, sometimes he's picked me up. And he has saved literally my life from many dangers. If I were to go into it, you'd be here a long time. And he continues to uphold me in all of my weaknesses. And I'm still learning lessons. I like the promise that Paul gave to the Philippians in Philippians 1:6, where he says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." The work in us has just begun. He is still teaching and refining those of us who know him. And this is a slow and painful process, this refining process. And it will continue all the way to its full completion when Jesus comes back. And just because a person turns 70 or any number of years old does not mean that it's complete. The source of my greatest joy and satisfaction is gospel, laboring in gospel ministry. That is the source of my greatest joy and satisfaction. It is work, yes. Sometimes it's heartbreaking, but it is so satisfying as you look back over the years. The gospel of Christ is the answer to all human problems. There is no work in this world that is so fulfilling, that is so worthy of our devotion, and so worthwhile than to serve the Lord. And to be able to serve the Lord full time is all that much more of a greater blessing. It's frustrating, yes, to see people reject Christ and oppose us. But even then, we know that God is working out His will and that He's using us as part of His will to accomplish His will through us in certain ways. And it's an eternal privilege to serve the Lord by serving you and trying to be a blessing to you. My greatest joy is seeing God's work in your hearts. And when we see God's work in you, it is so encouraging. Please know that, and I speak for my wife, that we love you in the Lord Jesus, and we long to see your spiritual growth and your maturity. You belong to God, and He will bring you to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. My brothers, the world is passing away. The world is passing away quickly. In 1 John 2:17, John writes, he says, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." We cannot save the whole world. The world is constantly changing. The Finnish people are going extinct. The world is destined for destruction. And everyone who places their trust in this world is doomed. Evil will continue to rule the world through Satan and his minions. Only those who repent and turn to Jesus can be saved. And the time is short. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us, and He rose from the grave to set us free. And there is salvation in no other name under heaven but through Jesus. It's Jesus' shed blood that we sing about, and because that is our only hope of salvation. And that is the only saving gospel. And for this, we may be persecuted, and we may suffer rejection by the world and even by loved ones. I'll be here next Sunday, and I'll be here the Sunday after that. But we're drawing near to the time in just over a month when we'll be departing. I feel like John Newton, we just sang Amazing Grace, who wrote, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." We've had some serious disappointments and setbacks over the years. And if it weren't for the grace of God, we would have failed and dropped out, because we did not continue in our own strength. But now our major battles are behind us, and the Lord has brought us through them all, not without some scars. And so we close this chapter in our lives, and we look forward to what God has before us, if our days should linger and continue. It's hard to go. It's very hard to go, but this is our time to move on. And a new chapter will open up for us, and we will continue on in the Lord's strength. Our deepest desire is for you to continue to serve the Lord faithfully. In Psalm 90, verse 12, that last verse there that we read, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Every moment is precious. Just this morning, we got news from dear friends in America that a friend of ours, my age, went out for a hike on the trails nearby and didn't come back. And when they went to look, they found him laying dead face down. He had no heart condition. He was in good health. But the Lord called him just like that. We don't know when our last day will come. It may be today. Time is racing on. Soon, you will be my age too, and you will understand how quickly it goes. So many people are plagued by indecision, here in Finland in particular. Don't be afraid to step out and attempt great things for the Lord. It's better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. Don't be so safe. Don't lead your life in such a safe way that you never step forward and get yourself involved in something worthwhile, something great. And don't waste your life on meaningless things. There's no substitute for living a clean and godly life. This is our one and only life to live in this world for the Lord. It is our one and only chance to lay up treasures in heaven, to be found serving the Lord. And then someday in heaven we can look back and we can praise God for what He has done in our lives. It's all in His power and grace. If I were to select one verse of Scripture that I find especially dear to my heart and that continues to inspire me, it would be this passage about Moses in Hebrews 11, verse 25, where it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." My goal in life is to not let sin and worldly affections deter me from doing all I can for the kingdom of God. For my time is short. The cost is high, but the rewards are, they justify it, to live for the Lord. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tom, for sharing that. Yeah. I need to get something on here. Just a second. Well, as Tom mentioned, well, as we know, he's turning 70, and biblically number 7 is a kind of a number of completion. And as you said, in some ways, it's completing this chapter, and you know, you'll continue to be used by God in a different way. Of course, in America and your family and everything else. And so even though your work in Finland has come to completion, it will, of course, continue in this church and the influence in many of us. But one thing, I mean, it's kind of a selfish gift, but you'll see why. But one gift that we as a church are giving to you kind of in honor of your birthday is that the first Finnish book by you is published. So I was supposed to have real copies here, but the delivery got delayed, so it's coming on Monday or Tuesday, so next Sunday we'll have some actual copies here, the first draft, and then we're going to order more to make sure that there was no errors or anything there. But so this is one way that the kind of the influence will continue in Finland, and we're planning to hopefully have a few more books in years to come. And Juha and Jere helped me with this and kind of proofreading and different things. But we put together a book. It's 150 pages of different, here's a list here in Finnish, kind of different subjects, different things you preached on and written upon about in Finnish. And we wanted this to, thought it was an appropriate time. We wanted to do it anyway, but I thought it was an appropriate time to present it to you, kind of as I said, it's a selfish gift because it's more to us and the Finnish people, but at least you can take a few copies with you to America. And
it's a great honor. You totally surprised me. I had no idea. Thank you so much. God,
it's the most appropriate, most greatest welcome.
Yeah. So next Sunday there should be some copies here. Yeah, we will be in England visiting, but you know, Jere can bring some of the books here. Okay. That was all I had to say, and and just kind of a brief comment. Of course, we will continue, and I specifically as the pastor here will continue that legacy of faithfulness. And as you said, you know, you've been here, and it's been setbacks and many trials, but we're thankful you stayed faithful to the end, because you know, if you would have left 20 years ago, for example, we wouldn't be here. I for sure wouldn't be here. So we're thankful for that, but how God has sustained you and kept you, and we will, in God's sustaining grace, continue that and continue that legacy of serving Christ faithfully and upholding His truth. And those of you who don't speak Finnish, it's called Word of Truth, Totuudensana, biblical authority in faith and life. And that's kind of crystallized. And I think that appropriately crystallizes how I think of your ministry in Finland, to focus on the Word of Truth. And that's how it should be for all of us as Christians. Let me pray here as we end, and then we have one more song to sing. Our Father in heaven, may you be honored in this church. We thank you that Christ Jesus is the head of the church. There's no man who is the ultimate head of the church, no pope, no bishop, but the Lord Jesus Christ who rules over His church. And yet you have appointed under shepherds to lead and to guide and to be the leaders in your church, to preach your word and to guide it in the right way according to what you have commanded. We thank you for Pastor Tom and Linda, and how you called them many years ago to come from America all the way here to Finland and to stay here for over 38 years amidst a lot of difficulty and setbacks and trials and seemingly not much fruit and many times. We thank you for upholding them and using them for the good of the people of Finland, for the good of us here. And we pray that this legacy would continue for many years to come, and even things like this book would be a blessing to many people, people who might never even set a foot in this church, but might find a copy of the book and read and be edified by biblical truth, biblical teaching. We thank you for this time we've had together now here, and we pray for the rest of our day and the concert and all things and our time together as we celebrate around coffee and cake. And we praise you, Lord, that you are the one who gives us life, sustains our life, and you bless us with friendships and Christians, brothers and sisters, and this church, and help us to be faithful in our part. And help us to take to heart, as we were reminded even through Tom's testimony and the passages of Scripture, to count our days and to realize that there will be a last day. There will be a day when it is our last day on this earth, and we will stand before you and we will give an account of our lives and how we've spent it. Help us to be faithful to you. We thank you now, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Oh, yeah.